Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County. With your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. April is known as Earthquake Preparedness Month. To educate us on how to be ready for earthquakes, I welcome the American Red Cross Southern California Regional Preparedness Manager, Kimberly Offrecht. Thank you, Kimberly, for being on Impact OC.
Thanks for having me, Dawn.
Kimberly, please go over what we can do now to be prepared for quakes, starting with action. When it happens, drop, cover, and hold on.
Absolutely, yeah. So when an earthquake happens, we need to remember that we need to find a safe place. Not everywhere in our house is going to be a safe place, but it's really important that we find a place where we can protect ourselves from any injury that might happen during that shaking. The first thing we want to do is drop. You want to drop to the ground. You never want to try to run because that can throw you to the ground and cause more harm. So we're going to drop to the ground. We're going to find the nearest bulky furniture, so a desk or a table would be a really great place to go. Cover yourself under that desk or table and then hold on to the leg so that that doesn't move out from on top of you. And then you also cover the back of your head with your hand and your arm, and you just stay there until the shaking stops.
Now, if you're outside, what should you do?
So if you're outside, there are a lot of hazards that you need to worry about. Trees, power lines, buildings. Drop to the ground again. Don't try to run. And cover your head and your neck. That's the most important part of your body. So you cover those places and then just stay in that place until the shaking stops.
And when the shaking stops, when is it safe to get up because the shaking could occur again?
That is true. There are aftershocks that we need to be aware of, but those aftershocks could take place anywhere from minutes to hours or even days after the initial quake. So as soon as the shaking stops, you know there aren't any hazards around you that could fall. You can family too, and then just wait it out from there, but be ready to drop, cover, and hold on with any aftershocks.
Now, the Red Cross is available to educate us on what we should do. How does the Red Cross operate in terms of earthquakes?
Yeah, so we are providing preparedness education for our community. We have various different preparedness presentations that we can give to each community member, and those are free. And we also provide response afterwards. So we may be able to open shelters and house residents in a congregate shelter and keep them safe and warm and fed during that time.
In terms of being prepared, what should each of us have in our homes, in our car, and at work?
Great question. So a lot of people don't actually have a preparedness kit, but it's probably one of the most important parts of preparedness. And that's for any disaster, not just an earthquake. We should have food and water. Everyone should have 1 gallon of water per person per day. And that's probably the hardest one for me to keep in my kit. And water, food, first aid kit is a great one. For an earthquake, you also want to have a whistle to call for help if needed. A dust mask. So the debris can often cause dust to come up that you really don't want to breathe in. And a fire extinguisher, because a lot of times an earthquake can spark small fires as well that we want to be prepared for.
Now, when you talk about communication, because I know you said you should have a whistle, but I want to go a little bit beyond that. What about a landline or cell phones? What would operate? What wouldn't operate?
A cell phone is a little bit less likely to operate. A lot of people, the first thing that's going to happen when an earthquake occurs is they're going to get on their cell phone and they're going to call their family and see if they're all right or just check in, let them know that they're okay. And so a cell phone call might not get through. A landline's a little more likely, but if the power's out or the lines are down, you might not be able to get through on that either. I've heard that the best way to get through to someone is actually to send a text or to call an out-of-state contact. So we really encourage everybody to have an emergency contact that's out of their state so that they can contact that person and let them know that they're okay. And that out-of-state contact can then relay the information back to local family members.
But if they don't have access to a cell phone because the cell phone won't work, would they be able to do it via landline?
Yeah, they might be able to. It really just depends on what infrastructure is still available. If the lines are still working, then the landline will still work. And if the cell phone towers are still working, the cell phone might work, but it gets really jammed up.
Getting back to supplies, when you talk about having food, water, for how many days should we have enough food and water?
So I would recommend at least 3 days. But 2 weeks would be better. 2 weeks sounds like a long time, but if you are in an earthquake, a very large earthquake, then it might take a long time for the infrastructure to come back, for the supply lines to be open again, to get food and water here. So having 2 weeks is best, but again, 3 days, that's probably a good start.
Where do you keep the supplies?
So it depends on your home. You want to keep it in a place where you're going to be able to access it. Personally, I have mine in a plastic bin in the garage in a place where I know that I can get to it. You need to keep it in a place where you can access it quickly and you know where it's going to be when you need it.
And the kind of food, and there's always this talk about cans or no cans.
You can do cans, you just have to have a can opener. I have a manual can opener in mine so that I know that I can open those cans. A great source of food also is those shelf-ready meals, those meals that they're called MREs, meals ready to eat. They don't require a can opener. They don't require any sort of cooking. They actually cook themselves. So those are a great source of food as well. They have a long shelf life.
And I understand you should rotate your food.
Absolutely. You can't let your food expire because then you won't be able to eat it. So you should always be making sure that the food in your kit is fresh and ready to eat so that if an earthquake does occur or any other hazard does occur, you have food there that you can eat.
Should you treat it like camping?
Sometimes, yeah, you can think if you're stuck on what you need in your kit, you can think, you know, oh, well, what would I need if I were camping for a weekend? And that's probably a good place to start.
And you got to include your pets.
Absolutely. So your pets are also part of the family, and they also need that water and that food. So anything that you would need to take care of your pet away from home or even at home, you need to make sure that you have that available for them as well.
Since we've had this education for many, many years, and the Red Cross does its best to try to educate people, when there have been earthquakes and you've responded to earthquakes, have you seen if people are indeed earthquake prepared?
So I haven't had the opportunity to respond personally to an earthquake yet, but I always hear from people that they just didn't expect it to happen to them. With any hazard, a lot of people, they assume that happens to other people, that's never going to happen to me. And so they're often taken by surprise by the fact that they did experience that hazard.
Where do you put your important documents? Because in the event of an earthquake, something could fall on your documents, mm-hmm. destroy your documents.
Yeah, so we often at the Red Cross recommend putting it in a bag and then putting the bag in the freezer, because that's a safe place where it's away from water, it's away from fire, various other local hazards that we could experience. You could also put your documents in a safety deposit box at the bank. That way they're away from your home. So if anything happens to your home, then they're safe there. And I also use a fireproof safe that to keep my documents in. So there's a lot of different options for people.
And what about educating your children on what to do when an earthquake strikes? I have to tell you, I was in the 1971 earthquake and I was a child. And I do remember what it was like. It felt like a camper was pulling my house. And my home, we were evacuated.
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of kids, they don't quite understand what's going on, or they do experience a lot of stress. So it's very important to make sure that our kids are part of our emergency planning, that they understand what to do when the time comes, that they know to drop cover and hold on and where those safe places are. And also that you're there for them afterwards, especially if they have to leave home. They're going to be very stressed. Disaster stress affects kids just as much as it does adults. So we need to try to support them as much as we can and maintain a schedule, because that often helps kids kind of cope with their feelings of stress.
What should people keep in their cars in the event they're away from home and an earthquake strikes?
Great question. So yeah, an earthquake can strike anytime. It's not going to wait until we're all at home and safe with our emergency kit. We should have a kit in our car too. So you're going to need some food and water just like your regular kit. I would also recommend having maybe a change of clothes or a good pair of walking shoes in case you have to leave your car behind. I also have some paper and pens and some window markers in my car just in case I do have to leave and my family finds my car before they find me.
What about the work site?
Again, you should have food and water, anything that you're going to need to keep yourself alive and fed and hydrated for a few days, just in case you're at work when that happens and you're not able to get back home.
What about modifying the home so that things won't fall in the event of earthquakes?
Great question. We often encourage people to look around the house, look at those things that are hanging on the wall, things that might fall during an earthquake, and make sure that those are secured as securely as possible. TVs, bookshelves should be tied to the wall as well. And the water heater, you can actually buy straps to strap that to the wall so that it doesn't fall. And I also encourage people to look around your bed. And if you have anything hanging above your bed that is heavy or is hanging over on the wall, you might want to think about moving that somewhere else because that could fall on you during an earthquake in the middle of the night.
I also know it's important to have sturdy shoes near the bed in the event things break.
Absolutely, yeah. So anything that is on the wall or on a shelf, on even hanging from the ceiling, can fall and break. So it's important that we have a sturdy pair of shoes near our bed that we can put on if we have to leave in the event of an earthquake so that we don't step on all that glass in our bare feet.
Now, in the past, there have been discussions on whether you should stand near the hall when an earthquake strikes. Yes or no?
Yeah, that's definitely, that was at one point the recommended
protocol.
Yes. So you should stand in a doorway or stand in an archway. And that was because at one point those areas were double reinforced according to building codes. But that's not necessarily the case anymore. If you're standing in a doorway, it's really no safer than anywhere else in the house. But then you also have a door that could potentially swing and hit you. So we do recommend getting that table or that desk or something that you can get yourself under and stay there.
What about running to the bathroom and getting in the bathtub?
That is, for tornadoes, I believe, the best way to prepare. But you wouldn't want to run during an earthquake. You want to find the safe place as quickly as possible, as close to you as you can. And it's a great idea to kind of look around and plan out, if I'm in this room and an earthquake hit right now, where would I go? And finding those safe places in each room in your house, and then teaching your family members where those safe places are as well.
What about disaster plans in terms of where to go in the event of an earthquake?
Yeah, so after an earthquake, you should have a meeting place. Actually, we would recommend two meeting places. One for all of your family members if you have to leave your home. If your home is structurally unstable and you need to evacuate, you're going to have a meeting place outside the home, a safe distance away, where you can make sure that everybody is present and accounted for. And then that goes for home fires as well. And then you should also have a meeting place outside your neighborhood just in case you need to leave. There's a hazard there that you need to go and away from the neighborhood and find a place there that all of your family members can regroup and where it's safe and where you can make sure that they all got out safely.
So the website has a lot of information on what to do to be earthquake safe. Why don't you explain some of the things they could see on the website?
Sure. We have it's redcross.org/prepare. And it has all sorts of different hazards there. There's earthquakes, wildfires, home fires. It's all sorts of preparedness tips for specific hazards. And so you can look there to find some tips and some resources that you can use to make that preparedness plan for your family.
And what about getting in touch with emergency units? Because they're going to be taxed.
Absolutely. So a lot of times the first responders are going to be very, very busy. They're going to have to prioritize things. So they might not make it to us in the event of a large disaster. They might be doing other things. So it's really important that we're able to help ourselves. But there are also resources that we can use to get information from local authorities and first responders. And one of those is Alert OC. You can sign up for alerts there. It comes through as a text message or a phone call from the county. And they'll let you know the current events and what's going on, what you need to know in response to a disaster.
And in response to a disaster, what's the American Red Cross's relationship?
Right. So we would be ready to put up a shelter if necessary, and we could house people in the area. But we've also been training a lot of local authorities and cities as well to help them respond with shelters as well.
How are you funded?
We are funded by donors. It's the generosity of donors throughout our country that we get our resources.
And we want to point out that the Orange County Red Cross will respond to disasters elsewhere when they're called upon.
Yes, we have volunteers that go throughout the country and respond to emergencies.
And speaking of volunteers, how can someone be a volunteer and what can they do as a volunteer?
Yeah, so we have various volunteer opportunities at the Red Cross, anything from shelter worker to preparedness presenter. You can also volunteer as a disaster health services worker, disaster mental health. We have a lot of different opportunities for anything that someone might be interested in. And someone can go to redcross.org/volunteer to sign up and learn more about what positions are available.
Kimberly, how do you want to be perceived?
I've never had that question before. the Red Cross or you. Me personally, me, I would like to be perceived as someone who does their best to help other people and who is kind and caring to all who are experiencing a crisis.
Thank you, American Red Cross Southern California Regional Preparedness Manager Kimberly Offrecht, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.